Well, praise the Lord. This is Apostle Curtis Lewis of Someone Cares Ministry. Welcome to the broadcast today. I want to take you into a message did right here in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, titled, God Declares That Man is a Soul. Let's go into the Word of God, and I want to prove to you that the word soul means soul, and the word spirit means spirit, and God declares that man is a soul. Let's go into the Word of God. God bless you.
Come before the Lord. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 45, and Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Okay, it says, 1 Corinthians 15, 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, and the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. I'm going to read that one more time. This is the document of the Word of God, and I want to encourage all true Bible students. I want you to know this King James Version. I like the old King James Version, and there are some other translations that's pretty good, but some of them you have to watch because they twist and change words. But this old King James Version is a good document, and it's the Word of God, and it's a word-for-word translation, whereas a lot of the other Bibles are a thought-for-thought translation. So you may not like all the D's and the dials, but let me tell you something. The old King James Version is a for sure document of the Word of God. Now, I don't have time to get off into proving all that, but I just want to throw that out there. Now, the reason I said it is because people done got so smart that they trying to get smarter than the Word of God. Okay. People go outside this Bible so much and look for stuff, and I'm not saying that's wrong. It's wrong if you get so dependent on all your knowledge outside of this Bible, and it takes you away from this Bible. Let me tell you the truth of how God will educate you. God can keep you right in this book right here, and you'll never need a dictionary. You'll never need Greek and Hebrew. You'll never need another Bible, and he can educate you right here. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to look at other translations, to study history, and to look at Greek. I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm saying what has become a big trick of the devil is to take people outside of the Word of God, and they go outside and get knowledge and then come back and try to make the Word of God fit in your knowledge. That's scary. That's wrong. People are going to lose their souls behind that. Stick with this book. Okay, now I said that to say this. I'm going to read this again. The Bible says, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Genesis 2 verse 7, hallelujah, says this. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. There's a lot of teaching in Christendom, and there's a lot of educated people, and education is good, but it don't mean a hill of beans if it take you away from God's document. There's a lot of smart people, and they go to Greek and Hebrew. They come up with definitions, and they call man everything but what God called him. But let me tell you something. You can call him whatever you want to call him. This holy document says that man is a soul. Amen. Now, if you stick with that central thought from the beginning to the end, you will always come out with the truth. But if you listen to some of the wise, so-called wise preachers of our day, they will tell you something other than what the Bible say. And I'm telling you, stick with this Bible. I just showed you two scriptures. The Bible said in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established. I can go and show you many more. I'm just trying to watch my time and trying to show you how to stick with the truth. We just read a scripture in Corinthians. The Apostle Paul said, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. Then we saw in the first book of the Bible, we believe Moses wrote the book of Genesis, and the Spirit of God spoke to him and said, God made man of the dust of the earth, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Okay, man is a soul. Now, when you hear people start teaching, I'm a spirit and I have a soul, beware. The Bible said man is a soul. We're going to travel from that point. Okay, now, God declares that man is a soul. That's my subject. God declares that man is a soul. I think God's smarter than all the scholars of our day. Oh, yes. I think God's smarter than all the preachers of our day. And if God's word record that the man is a soul, we don't have no business calling him nothing else but a soul. We know that the man's got a body. We know that he's got a spirit called the candle of the Lord inside of him. But God himself says that man is a soul. So man is a soul. No matter how many parts on him, God said he's a soul. That's the document of the word of God. End of story. Okay. Romans 3, verse 3 through 4 says, what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? Let God be true and every man a liar. Hallelujah. Now, I'm just establishing something, and I've taught some of this before, but it's very important that we go back and rehearse this, because if you don't understand this, you will never understand God's plan of salvation for humanity. You will not. You're going to have a misconception of salvation if you don't start right here that man is a soul, okay? Now, the Bible said, let every man be a liar and let God be true. So it don't matter if y'all leave the service today and you go hear Reverend so-and-so or Dr. so-and-so, or they can have all kinds of titles behind their name. If they try to twist God's word and say that man is something other than what this Bible said, the Bible said, let every man be a liar and let God be true. Hallelujah. Okay? All right. We're traveling and we're going somewhere. Now, I'm going to just quote some scriptures to you. Encourage you to write them down and look at them, because when a preacher is up preaching, it really don't matter what that preacher say the Bible is saying. What matters is the preacher can show you that the Bible is saying what he's saying. So that's why I give you a lot of scripture. Ezekiel 18 and 4, the Bible says, all souls are mine. God made them. And he said, all of them are mine. And the end of that verse saying, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Now, like all these doctrines going around now, talk about sin don't affect your relationship with God. Well, go to the Bible and believe the Bible, because these folks are lying. Okay? So he said, all souls are mine. Proverbs 11:30. Write these down, and I need you to go look at them, because I don't need to give you my interpretation of the Bible. I need to let the Bible interpret itself, and that's why I do scriptures. I'm a Bible preacher. Proverbs 11:30 says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Why do you think the Proverbs say he that winneth souls is wise? Because if you want to win a person, the soul is what you got to win. If you're trying to win that person's spirit, you are wasting your time. The Bible said if you want to win a human being, win their soul. So if you're trying to win anything else and you're trying to teach anything else, and many, many preachers now get in the pulpit and they encouraging your spirit, they ministering to your spirit. I'm gonna encourage your spirit this morning. I'm going to feed your spirit. You don't find that in the Bible. Go check me out. Don't take my word. Go do your word search and check me out. You don't find God sending a preacher to deal with your spirit. God sent a preacher to deal with your soul. So he that winneth souls is wise. Mark 8 verse 36 says, what do it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Now let me show you what that statement. Now Jesus made that statement. And don't y'all think Jesus is smarter than all the modern day preachers? All right, Jesus took the world. I want you to use your imagination. Let's take the world and put it right here. The world. Everything that's in the world. Let's say all the money in the world. You're a super trillionaire, okay? You got all the Rolls Royces you want. You got all the mansions you want. You got all the attention, all the power, all the glory, everything in the world. Put it right here. Jesus said a man's soul is worth more than anything in that world. Hallelujah. Now, I said that to say this, that when you read your Bible, you don't find God putting the emphasis on your spirit. Go check me out. Don't take my word. Go read your Bible yourself, because I'm just telling you, most churches got it wrong. Now, I'm not just trying to say that to embarrass anybody, but I'm saying that because you need to know the truth. You don't need some preacher up trying to lead you and he don't know where he's going. You need somebody that can lead your soul to eternal life. You don't find in the Bible where God put that kind of emphasis on the Spirit. Go find it. Go search it. You don't find where God talk about the Spirit like he talk about a person's soul. Why? Because the soul is what God want to win. Hallelujah. So he said, what do it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Matthew 11, 28 through 29, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that are labors, talking about those that you toil in life and you just get wore out and you just get weary with life, you're tired, you're at the end of yourself, some people ready to commit suicide, some people tired of life. He said, those that are weary, come unto me and I'll give you rest. And he said, take my yoke upon you, learn of me. Watch this. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. You never see in the Bible where Jesus promised rest to your spirit. Wonder why? God's after something. It's your soul. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 2:25. I want you to read it. The Bible said we all, those of us that are saved now, we was once lost. And when we gave our lives to Jesus Christ, the Bible said we've been brought back to the shepherd and the bishop of our soul. Wonder why he didn't say we was brought back to the shepherd and bishop of our spirit. Wonder why he didn't say we've been brought back to the shepherd and bishop of our bodies. God is more concerned about your soul than he is anything. Because the soul is the person that God is trying to win. And I'm giving you enough scripture to go check it out. Hebrews 13, verse 17. And I hope preachers everywhere listening to me here. And I'm not trying to embarrass anybody, but I love preachers. And let me tell you something about true apostolic fathers. The Bible says, and I got to teach this because I'm a teacher. The Bible says you have many instructors, but very few fathers. Do you not know there's very few fathers, apostolic fathers in the earth? Do you know God didn't give a whole bunch of them? And they come in all kinds of sizes, all kinds of places. They have big ministries, small ministries. They all cross the world, but he said they few. Do you know we got many, 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 many preachers? But do you not know every preacher is not an apostolic father? And Paul, go search the scripture now. Everything I'm teaching you, it'll be found in the Bible. It's only a few apostolic fathers. An apostolic father is someone sent by God to pave the way for the message that God has given the whole world how to get to heaven. And that apostolic father is able to look at a message and look at a ministry and tell you, no, that's wrong. Those are apostolic fathers. They can see when a church is off course. They can see when a preacher is off course. It's only few of them in the body. That's what the Bible says. And when you find an apostolic father, the way you know you're dealing with one, and I'm still teaching here, and I'm not bringing glory to me. I just got to teach. Amen. Now, the way you know is you know a tree by the fruit it bear. Whenever you find a true apostolic father, you'll find someone that out of their life and out of their ministry, you'll see a lot of preachers popping up. You'll see churches. Why? Because only apostolic fathers can birth preachers. And God has made them few and foremost in the body. That's what Paul meant when he said you have many instructors, but very few fathers. Now, when preachers get away from an apostolic father, they get off course, and then they take the body off course, because whoever the apostolic father is in the body of Christ, they are the ones that keep everything straight and narrow. And when the people and when the ministers and when the churches get away from them, they get off course. Now, I just threw that in for free. Go search the scriptures, and you'll find that that is true. But I said all that to say this, that we living in a day and time where God's got to let the fathers now begin to surface, because the body is so far off course. I was looking at television this morning and I really started to weep inside my heart, because some of the biggest ministries in the country are so far off course, and they teaching people, and they teaching from a half revelation, and all my heart do is just break for those people. And the church got to come back, because I see all the teachings in the body of Christ. I hear the stuff that's being taught, and my heart break. And you know why my heart's breaking? Because his heart's breaking. And he just let me feel what he's feeling for the body of Christ. And it's sad that people that sit in churches don't understand this. And I have to stop and teach on this. I have to inform you of the truth about this, because how would you know if I don't share it? Because, you know, when you're sharing this, you know you got people thinking, well, who do he think he is? Or, well, why are you calling yourself this? No, I'm doing it because I got to educate you. And the ministry, the church is so far, of course, and my heart beat for preachers. And a lot of time when I come out like a hammer, you know, because I'm dealing with these preachers. Preachers are some of the most hard-headed folks in the world. Preachers are some of the most rebellious people there is. Now, I know what I'm talking about. And a lot of time, I pastor this local church. I'm a pastor here, okay? And I'll take time for anybody, okay? I have to get in my pastoral role when I'm here. Most time, y'all hear me preaching, I'm coming out with a hammer because I got people listening, thousands of people listening to me on radio, and the majority of the people I preach to are preachers. Y'all see it. Y'all see it yourself. When they come in from different places, and you haven't seen all of them that we've birthed and raised up. Because a lot of them got away from that vein. But when I go out and preach in the atmosphere, I'm coming out with a hammer. I'm coming out with a rod. But you can't take it personal because you're the sheep here. And here I'm a pastor. I didn't mean to go through all this, but this is important for somebody. Amen. But Paul said you have many instructors, many teachers, many preachers, but you got very few fathers. And it's the apostolic fathers that God is going to have to elevate right now. And begin to put them out in the airways to correct some things, because the body is off course. A preacher just said this morning, he said, obedience to God on this side of the cross, you can throw that in the garbage can. You don't need it no more, because the cross done paid for it all. Now, folks, I hope people listening to what these folks are saying. How can you throw obedience in the trash can? That's a preacher and got away from whoever his apostolic father was in his life. Because if he was back in the vein that God birthed him in, he wouldn't teach people such foolishness. Hallelujah. Same preacher was preaching, and he said, Jesus said, narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. He changed it and said, the way ain't narrow. The way is not narrow. The way to heaven is easy. He said, even fools going to heaven. And Jesus said, broad is the way that leads to destruction. He said, it's not a bunch of people going to destruction. He changed it. He said, it's going to be broad going to heaven. He changed the document. And the folks, the church packed. And the people sitting there listening to their preacher. And you know what they're doing? They have so much loyalty to that leader. That leader sitting right there changing these documents. And those folks sitting right there still supporting it. Never read their Bible. And some apostolic father listening to that and feeling God's heart and weeping. Because we know that that's going to send many people to hell. Hallelujah. Let me keep moving here. I got over into that there, but you know, that was needed. But Hebrews 13:17, here's what got me over on this. My heart break when I hear preachers get up and talking about I'm feeding your spirit. And when they get up and they talk about how many people we had in church this morning. They talk about how big their church is and how much tithe and offering. And then they up here talking about trying to minister to your spirit. And that ain't nowhere in the Bible. I feel for thousands of people sitting in congregations where the preacher don't know how to watch for your soul. Hebrews 13:17 says, for they watch for your soul. God never told a preacher to watch for your spirit. God never told a preacher to watch for your body. Everybody is responsible for their own body, what they do with it. Everybody have a spirit, and that spirit in you was given by God to serve one purpose, is to tell you when you're right and when you're wrong. And even when you was lost, your spirit was still doing its job. And when you got born again, your spirit still talks to you, still tell you what's right and wrong. And God ain't sent no preacher to watch for your spirit. The spirit is designed to watch for itself. The Bible said it watch for your souls. And now I want y'all to listen to the average preacher. Okay, listen to, when you turn on your television and listen to the radio, listen to the average preacher and see how much they know about the soul. And that gonna tell you how much they really know about being a minister. Because the thing that you're perfecting is the soul. And if a preacher don't know how to perfect a person's soul, how can he accurately get you into heaven or get you ready for heaven? Now, that's a fact. Hebrews 13:17 said, "They watch for your soul." Now, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 down to verse 16 gives you the job of a preacher. And see, this is why my heart began to be burdened for the ministry. Now, don't get me wrong. When I'm burdened, I'm just feeling God's burden, but it makes me go pray for him. And when I'm up preaching, I'm preaching, I'm letting the hammer down, I'm telling the truth because I'm supposed to. But this same burden of the Lord drive me to prayer, and I pray for him. And not only do I pray for him, I go reach him because I don't care nothing about your number you got in your church. I don't care how much fame and fortune you have. Glory to God. I don't care nothing about that. And I'm going to come deal with you. You may not want to listen to me, but one thing for sure, if you don't listen, God done came to your house that day. But the Bible said that the preachers are for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Watch this. Until, which means there's a time of arrival right here on earth. He put them in the church for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Watch this, unto a perfect man, unto the measure and the stature and the fullness of Christ. That's where you're supposed to arrive before Jesus come. Now, why is a big old cliche in the church, nobody's perfect, when God said, perfect the people. Now, here's a preacher that made a statement. The preacher said, September 2, 2015, at 7:10 p.m., I ain't gonna call his name. Now, this is Curtis Lewis saying what I'm saying. Go check me out. Now, you can go check this date out and see if this is accurate. Here's what the preacher said. Now, keep in mind, Ephesians 4, verse 11 through 16 said the preacher is for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come into the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure and the stature and the fullness of Christ. That's why God called the preacher. Here's what this preacher said to thousands of people all around the world. He said, when you are following a leader, in context, he was talking about preachers. When you're following a leader, preachers, you shouldn't look for perfection. You should look for direction. Now, that sounds nice, but that is a biblical lie. How, you know what, and then he went on to explain it. Don't look for the inconsistencies in the person's life. Don't look for the sin in his life. When you follow a preacher, don't look for perfection, look for direction. In other words, look for the direction that preacher give you. How the preacher gonna give you direction when he ain't doing his job? Somebody tell me that. We hear a lot of stuff in these churches and from the pulpit, and most of it is not accurate. And here, I teach everybody, check everything out. Check everybody out. Start with me first. And there's a lot of teaching going on today on Sunday, and people being misinformed. And true apostolic fathers can't sit around and be quiet. We ain't called to do that. And all I'm trying to tell you is we got to come back to this Bible and do it the Bible's way. Don't a lot of souls going to go into hell. Millions of souls going to go into hell. Following blind leaders. Luke 6 verse 39 said, if the blind lead the blind, both of them falling in the ditch. You know what? You really can't go to the church of your choice. You should go to the church that the Holy Spirit direct you to. Because the church may look pretty. The church may have all the features you like. But the preacher could be blind even though he looked like he can see. So you need God. And I'm talking to the atmosphere. Because y'all know we don't do this to try to get members. We don't play that here. I'm telling you need to be led of the Holy Ghost. Because just because some look good and just because somebody look intelligent don't mean they know where they're going. Hallelujah. I didn't mean to take that much time. But that's just an example there. Now, let me share this. Listen to me closely. If people who truly want to make heaven their home begin from this day forward to listen closely at most of the teaching regarding the salvation of the soul, you will find that people are taught that the soul is saved right now. Go turn on your radio. Go listen to the average preacher. Go listen to the average doctor, average reverend, average preacher. And they're going to teach you. They're going to take this Bible and they're going to teach you as if your soul is saved right now. Don't y'all throw no stone before you finish. Listen to me. Because I'm going to take you to the Bible. But the Bible don't teach that. The Bible teach that the soul is sanctified and preserved to be saved in the end. Now let's go to the Bible. That's why I said, folks, open your Bible up and read and check everybody and everything out. So I'm going to prove to you that the soul is in the born again experience has been sanctified and preserved according to the scripture that you got in your lap, preserved to be saved at the end when you stop breathing. And don't believe me, believe the Bible. Because I'm going to give you enough scripture to prove everything.
Well, praise the Lord. We're just about out of time for today. But I want to thank you for tuning into the broadcast. And I want to encourage you to go search the scriptures. Jesus said in St. John chapter 5, verse 39, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. When you search the scriptures and you read it in context, you'll find that in the born-again experience, only the spirit has been born again. And Proverbs 20, verse 27 says, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. It never said that the spirit of man is the man. The Bible teaches in Genesis 2 verse 7, man is a soul. Confirming verse is 1 Corinthians 15 verse 45. Paul said man is a soul. So I want you to search the scriptures. And if you look at Titus 3 and verse 5, Jude 1 and 1, Ezekiel 36 verse 25 through 27, it shows that when a person is born again, that the spirit in the man is the only thing that's born again, but the soul and the body is sanctified, cleaned up, and preserved to be saved in the end. Bible said at the last trump, the body going to be changed into a glorified body. And at the end of your faith, you're going to receive a glorified soul. The scripture says in James 1 verse 21, it says, receive the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed by the word of God. The soul is in a process called being born again. 1 Peter 1 9 says, receive the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Hebrews 10 verse 39 said, we are not of them that draw back, but them that believe to the saving of the soul. Matthew 24 verse 13, Jesus said, to him that endure to the end, the same shall be saved. So let's search the scriptures and let's make sure we're inside of God's perfect overall plans of salvation, spirit, soul, and body. God bless you. We want to invite you to go to our website, www.someonecaresministry.org, for more free teaching. This is Apostle Lewis saying we love you. We thank God for you. God bless you. We love you. We'll see you on the next broadcast.